represent the Old Testament.
王教授说，我代表旧约。
This is supposed to be my Sabbath.
这是应该是我的安息日。
But I still have to work.
但是我今天还要做工。
Sunday is his day of rest.
礼拜天是他的安息日。
And he won't have to work, but I will.
他不需要做工，我还要做工。
They love New Testament more than I do.
I have a difficult Bible quiz for you.
我今天要给你们一个很难的圣经的难题考你们。
Two questions.
两个问题。
Who is the shortest man in the Bible?
在圣经里面最矮的一个人是谁？
No.
不是。
No. Zacchaeus, no.
不是撒该。
Anyone else?
还有没其他的
？Who? How? Yeah. Why is he the? Okay, that's one.
What is it?
Peter slept on his watch. He was the smallest one in the New Testament.
Peter,
you understand?
这中年人对不对？他看手的时候在睡觉，那个 watch 表。
Who is the shortest man in the Old Testament? That's right. New Testament is right.
在新旧约里面，谁最矮？
Do you give up?
弃权。
Bildad the shoe height. Bildad the shoe height.
数，数念的比达人。
See, he's only as tall as his shoe.
哦。只有鞋子那么高。约勒达是是不是约伯书里面那个？
Can you explain that?
where is that verse?
Oh, Job. Job. Yeah. Bildad the Shuhite.
在约伯记里面。
Okay. You did good. 50%. That's good.
你们答对了一半。
Okay. Last night we talked about Israel becoming God's people.
昨天晚上我们讲到以色列民成了神的民。
And God gave her the Torah.
神给他们一些指导。
The Torah was God's instruction.
这指导是神给他们的教训。
So that Israel might be his peculiar, his unique people.
所以以色列人能够成为属神的独特的民。
She was given a law that would make her holy.
神也给他们律法，让他们变成圣洁。
It would make her different from all the nations round about her.
她就使他们在万民的当中成为不同的民。
Basically, she would be unique in the moral and religious realms.
特别是他们在道德和宗教方面是跟别的民不同。
Today, I want to talk about the tabernacle and the priesthood.
今天我要讲到会幕和祭司。
We won't be looking at all the details.In the priesthood and all the details that are talked about in the tabernacle.
我们不能够看祭司和会幕的一些细节。
We will rather talk about why the priesthood and why the tabernacle.
我们会讲到为什么要设立祭司，为什么要建立会幕。
And broadly, what these meant to Israel.
到底这些对以色列有什么意义？
And then we will mention about how Christ fulfills.All of the functions of the priesthood and the tabernacle.
然后我们又讲到怎么样主耶稣他成就了祭司和会幕的一切功能。
Remember that God's relationship with mankind was broken in Genesis 3.
我们也要记得在创世纪第三章人和神的关系已经断绝。
Throughout the rest of Genesis 3 through 11, we see how mankind falls away from God.
从第三章到十一章创世纪我们看到人就慢慢慢慢地远离神
It's clear that if God had not intervened mankind would have totally lost any relationship or knowledge of God.
若是神不再进入人类来救人的话，那人就根本就完完全全会忘记神的一切事。
How would mankind be restored to relationship with God as in Genesis 2?
要怎么样的才能够恢复在创世纪第二章神原来的心意要跟人的那些关系呢？
In Genesis 2, God talked with and had fellowship with man.
因为在创世纪第二章人和神讲话而且有交通。
But sin had separated mankind and God.
但是罪恶使人类和神分开了。
We must understand that.
我们必须要了解这一点。
Because it's through the Torah.
是借着神的教训。
And it is through the tabernacle and the priesthood that God now works to restore relationship with mankind.
也借着祭司和会幕的关系，能够让人和神的关系恢复过来。
Note that mankind does not reach up and establish relationship with God.
我们要记得人类没有办法去来接近神。
God reaches down and establishes relationship with mankind.
神必须从天上下来来接近与神人与人在发生关系。
It's because of this then that the tabernacle and the priesthood are established.
就是因为这个缘故，那个会幕和祭司的职分就建立了。
Once again, relationship between God and man will be possible.
就因为这样的建立，使人和神的关系能够可能。
In the book of Exodus, a lot of space is given to the description of the priesthood.
在出埃及记的地方讲了很多的篇幅是关于祭司的。
And a lot of space is given to the establishment of the tabernacle.
也用很多的篇幅谈到怎么样的建立会幕。
Why so much space?
为什么用这么多的篇幅来讲呢?
It makes very tedious reading for us.
你们读的时候好像很没有意思。
But the reason so much space is given to it,
这给我们这么多的篇幅来讲这件事的原因,
is because just what we have said.
就是我们刚刚所说的。
It's through the tabernacle and the priesthood,That relationship will be reestablished, and God will be able to dwell with mankind again.
唯有借着会幕和祭司的设立，让人和神的关系再次恢复，人能够住在神能够住在人的当中。
The tabernacle represents the dwelling or the presence of God with mankind.
会幕代表神的居住和神与人同在。
And the priesthood represents the mediating agency.Between God and mankind.
那祭司是代表人和人中间的一个中保。人与神中间的中保。
And of course, the priesthood mediated the Torah that we talked about last night.
也是借着祭司把神的教训来告诉人。
So that Israel might be wise about God's will.
所以以色列人就能够很聪明，能够明白神的旨意。
And the priesthood also gave.Representation for Israel before God.
那祭司也代表以色列人站在神的面前。
Taking care of all the sacrifices for sin or for joy, whatever it might be.
也代表以色列人献祭或者有什么喜乐的场合。
Okay, so that is why the priesthood and the tabernacle received so much space in the book of Exodus.
所以在出埃及记用那么多篇幅来记祭司和会幕的事。
I put up here chapters 25:1 through 31:11 of Exodus.
我这里写到出埃及记25章第一节到31章11节。
In these chapters, all the instructions are given concerning the...Contributions that are to be made for the tabernacle.
在这几章的里面就看到这些在会幕里面要奉献的一些东西。
And the contributions that are to be made for all of the priestly garments and all of the vessels and utensils of the cult.
而且这些东西要奉献出来为了祭司所用他的衣服或者是一些用具所用的。
In chapter 31, in verses 12 through 18, there is a small section.
在31章12到18节有一小段。
It talks about observing the Sabbath.
就是讲到如何守安息日。
It's placed there so that Israel will know that she is not to work even on the tabernacle on the Sabbath.
在这里告诉他们在安息日的时候甚至于他们 不应该在会幕里面工作。
And back in chapter 25 at the beginning of the chapter,
回到25章的时候
note that in verses 1 and 2, the people were to contribute willingly to the construction of the tabernacle.
就告诉以色列民他们应当很甘心乐意的送礼物来给会幕的用途。
Let me read verse 2 of chapter 25.
我想读25章第二节。
Speak to the people of Israel that they take for me an offering. From every man whose heart makes him willing, you shall receive the offering for me.
你告诉以色列人当为我送礼物来凡甘心乐意的你就可收下归我。
Much of the gold and silver and bronze and materials, clothing materials, and utensils had been taken from the Egyptians when they left Egypt.
当他们在离开埃及的时候，拿了一些金银铜，这金银铜是一些做衣服和他们做器具的原料。
So you can see God's sovereignty at work there.
我们看到神的王权在那里彰显出来。
Chapters 32 through 34 of Exodus talk about the rebellion of Israel.
在出埃及记三十二到三十四节讲到以色列民的悖逆。
This is important to notice.
这里很重要，我们要注意的。
Because chapter 32 indicates that Israel nearly lost her special place in the covenant.
在三十二章的时候，以色列民几乎失去了他们在神的面前立约的那个权利。
When Moses was in the mountain, Israel sinned and made a bull and worshipped it.
当摩西在山上的时候，以色列人就做了一个金牛犊，然后向他敬拜。
But Moses interceded on Israel's behalf.
但是摩西就代替以色列人来向神代祷。
Although God was ready to reject the people.
虽然那个时候神已经要把他们拒绝他们。
It is amazing how much Moses is able to affect God in his intercession.
我们看到他代祷的功效在神的面前是何等的大。
You can read of that in verses 11 following.
你可以从十一节到以后讲到这件事。
God said to Moses in 32:9,
在第三十二章第九节，神对摩西说，
I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. But of you, I will make a great nation.
耶和华对摩西说，我看这百姓真是应着景象的百姓，你且由着我，我要向他们发烈怒，将他们灭绝，使你的后裔成为大国。
So God was on the verge of rejecting Israel because she had broken the covenant.
因为以色列民他们没有遵守神的约，神都几乎要毁灭他们。
They had lost faith in their God.
因为他们对神失去了信心。
They needed visible gods.
他们需要一个看得见的神。
And they sinned.
他们就犯罪了。
Because the covenant had said, Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
因为在约上面说，除我以外，你们不可以有别的神。
And you shall not make images and worship them.
你也不可以制造别的偶像来敬拜他。
But Israel did all of that in chapter 32.
但是在三十二节的二章的时候，以色列民做了这一切，也犯了所有的律法。
God was merciful to the nation because of Moses' intercession.
因为摩西代求的关系，所以神又再一次怜悯他们。
And God judged the Israelites who had sinned accordingly.
但是神也按照他们的罪也同样的审判他们。
He would not accept Moses' death for their death.
他不会接纳摩西为他们死的这个件事。
Verses 32 in chapter 32 explain this.
在32章32节解释这件事。
Let me read that.
让我读。
But now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. That is Moses' request.
神向摩西向神要求说，倘或你肯赦免他们的罪，不然求你从你所写的册上涂抹我的名。
The book that was written, of course, would be the book where God had written the names of those who were in covenant relationship with him.
我想所写的这个册子上是神把所有以色列人跟他立约的人的名。
Verse 32 continues.
第三十二节继续。
But the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book.
耶和华对摩西说，谁得罪我，我就从我的册上涂抹谁的名。
But now go, lead the people to the place of which I have spoken to you.Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them.
第三十四，现在你去领这百姓往我所告诉你的地方去。我的使者必在你前面引路，只是到我追讨的日子，我必追讨他们的罪。
I thought it was important to look very quickly at those three chapters.
我想很快的看这三章很重要。
In chapter 32, Moses.Prays further to God to let His presence be amongst Israel again.
在三十二章的时候，摩西首先祷告，求神跟以色列人同在。
At first, God refuses.
在开始的时候，神拒绝。
But again, through Moses' intercession, the man of God, the mediator between God and man, God grants His petition.
就是借着摩西，他是一个中保，在神和人中间的一个中保，代求，神就听了他的祷告。
Moses' intercession here on Israel's behalf reminds us of Christ's intercession for mankind.
摩西在这里代以色列人的祷告，提醒我们今天主耶稣也代我们人类代求。
In chapter 34, then God renews the covenant.
在第三十四章，神再一次更新，他跟人的约。
We need to remember that because He gives again the Ten Commandments.
我们要记得这里，他再一次给人十诫。
Remember last night we said that the Ten Commandments are the basic constitution of Israel.
我们昨天晚上讲的十诫是以色列人他们宪法的根基。
It was upon those moral and religious principles that Israel was founded.
以色列人就根据这些道德上的一些原则来建立的。
She had been unfaithful to that constitution.
以色列民对这个宪法根本就不信实。
And nearly lost her inheritance.
甚至于几乎失去了他们神要应许他们的约。
But God gives her the Ten Commandments again.
但是神再一次给他们这十诫。
I have talked to some people that didn't even know that the Ten Commandments were given twice.
我跟一个人谈话，他都不知道十诫是给人两次。
But it's very important to see that they were.
但是很重要，我们要记得它是。两次给人。
And the basis of Israel being the people of God was her faithfulness to the covenant.
以色列民要成为神的民是根据他们是不是对守约很忠心。
It was not just being flesh and blood Israel.
并不是因为他们血肉是属于以色列人，他们就是真属神的民。
And the writer wants to put these chapters here to tell us.That what God had given in 25:1 through 31:11 was in danger of being useless.
在这几章告诉我们，就是在二十五章到三十一章，神给应许给他们的一些约是几乎都没有用。
If Israel would not be faithful to Him, then the priesthood and the tabernacle would be of no value.
若是以色列民对神的约不忠心的话，那就是祭司和会幕对他们也没有益处。
So the reestablishment of the covenant now makes it possible for the writer to talk about the construction of the tabernacle and the establishment of the priesthood.
就因为神再一次的给他们约，所以才立祭司和召会幕才有意义。
There are a couple of other verses in Leviticus that are especially important here.
在利未记有几句是非常重要。
Remember that Leviticus completes the book of Exodus.
我们要记得利未记就是结束出埃及记的一些事件。
In Leviticus chapters 8 and 9, Aaron and his sons are consecrated.
在利未记第九第八第九章，亚伦和他的儿子是分别为圣。
They are called and established to be God's priesthood in Exodus, but it's only when we get to Leviticus 8 and 9 that we see them finally consecrated.
他们在出埃及记的时候就被神呼召出来做祭司，但是一直要到利未记的时候，他们在实际的把他们分别出来成圣。
And also in Leviticus 16, the yearly Day of Atonement is established.
在利未记十六章也讲到赎罪日这一天的设立。
The great day when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies.
在赎罪日的这一天，那种大祭司到至圣所里面。
And he would offer sin offering for himself and for the people of Israel and for keeping the land holy.
他首先要献祭来把他自己的罪除去，也把以色列民的罪除去，使那个地方能够变成圣洁。
These are especially important chapters in Leviticus.
这些是利未记里面重要的一些章节。
They show how the priesthood was completed and established.
他告诉我们祭司是如何的行设立，如何的形成。
But the rest of the Leviticus is also completion of the story begun in Exodus.
其他的记载的部分也是出埃及记的一些没有成就的事情。
And remember that these chapters, these books, simply tell us how the theme of Exodus 19, 5 and 6 are completed and finished by God.
那这些章节记载无非是要记载在出埃及记十九章第五、第六节，神向以色列民所做的应许。
You will remember there that Israel was to be a holy nation and a kingdom of priests.
你要记得那个时候，神说以色列民要成为我的圣洁的国民，要成为祭司的国度。
And you will remember that in Exodus 6, 6 and 7, it is said God would take Israel as his people and he would be their God and dwell amongst them.
而且第六、第七章告诉说，神要做他们的神，以色列要做他神的名。
To Bible scholars, the literary structure of Exodus is very interesting.
对一个圣经的做学者来说，这出埃及记对他是很有趣的。
It was claimed by excessive critical liberalism that the tabernacle and the priesthood in Exodus weren't real.
有一些现在的不信派，他们说出埃及记里面的祭司和会幕的事件是不是真实的。
They taught, for instance, that a tabernacle and an altar and an ark, as mentioned in Exodus,
他说在出埃及记会幕里面所提的坛和那个约柜
were only things that could have been built and thought of much, much later in history.
这些事情是在历史以后才提到的事。
Since those kinds of claims were made,
但是这些事情提到了。
Samples of very ancient altars and very ancient tabernacles and even possibly tents have been uncovered in the ancient Near East.
在东方的地方就发现了有很古老的那些会幕和一些盖会幕的东西在都发现了。
So here's one illustration where archaeology clearly shows the reality of the biblical picture and the biblical world.
所以考古学家也证明了这圣经里面所提的一些事件是事实。
Mankind did use altars and tabernacles and sacrifices much earlier than the critics had thought.
所以人类他们在一般人想的很久以前的时候已经开始用坛了，用会幕了，而且用一些献祭的事。
So we can think of this as actuality and real history and not just a story made up.
所以我们知道出埃及记记载的这些事情是事实而不是一些捏造的事物。
Another thing that's very interesting is the literary structure of Exodus 25:1-40.
还有一件事情就是出埃及记25:40就讲到一些建造实际的很细节的
时间的结构
时间的结构
这一段圣经的结构
圣经的结构
25:1-31:11 contain the commands to Moses to build the tabernacle and to make the priest's clothing and to make the utensilsThat will be used in the cult and the ritual.
在25:31，就神告诉摩西要怎么样建造会幕，在亭里面所造的一些用具，在仪式的时候所要用的。
Before 1940, that caused problems for some people.
在1940年以前，有的人认为这些有问题。
Because in 35-40, all of this is repeated.
因为在30-40所述的那些事情35-40是重复
And they said that is not a very likely style of literary composition
就是在圣经上的结构好像不应该是有这样的发生
However, it's interesting that at Ugarit it's interesting that at the ancient site of Ugarit
在古代有个地方叫 Ugarit 发现
Materials that have been found there illustrate exactly this kind of literary composition from the ancient world
他们就找到了一些在这几章所提到的这些事物的一些原料
他们在那里找到了 Ugarit 那个地方啊，就是考古学家发现到一些文献那个文献里面的结构跟这里结构一样相同结构
OK In one of the literary epics at Ugarit,
在 Ugarit 所发现的那些结构上
one of the king's crate is told to go and do some things in about 5 chapters.
有一个王他的命令下来，包括有5章的事情他们要去做的。
Yeah, this is a literary section.
这是一个
一个结构的一个单位，
一个单位。
Then later in the same epic, he does these things.
在另外一个结构的单位，他们就做了第一个单位的事。
See, as Moses was commanded to do these things here,
那里就像摩西刚开始被神命令做那些事。
And then does them here.
就在35-40才做，实际的做。
King Crate was commanded to do these things here.
王下命令是叫他们这样做
And then he does them here
就在另外一个时间做出来
In the same epic
就是形式上是一样的
The literary structure is exactly the same
所以在圣经文献的结构上是一样的
And this is dated about 1450 BC
是在1450年前的样子
Even possibly earlier than Moses, you see
可能比摩西的时间还更前。
And so we see again that even the literary structure tells us that we're not just talking about a story that has been made up.
所以从圣经的结构来上，我们所谈的也不是一个捏造的故事。
But the story we are reading reflects a real world of the Bible.
所以我们所读的是真实的，也世界上发生的事。
One of the purposes, then, that we must examine concerning the tabernacle is the dwelling of God with his people.
我们要谈到会幕它建立的目标最主要的一个就是神住在人的当中。
You know that that's the goal of God with us, his people today, his people of all ages.
这是从古今神在人身上的一个计划，就是如此。
Remember when I talked the very first lecture about the theme of the Old Testament?
你记得我第一个信息的时候讲到旧约里面一个最主要的一个主题。
The theology of the Old Testament is that God wants to create a people in His image, in His likeness, in relationship to Him, and dwell amongst them in an appropriate environment.
在旧约里面，一个主要的神学就是神按照他自己的形象造人，而且他要与人有关系，他要居住在这些他所造的人当中。
If we read the Old Testament with that theme in mind always,
若是我们一直记着旧约里面这是它的主题的话
All of the different books will make sense.
所以你读每一本书都会有意义的
So the tabernacle
所以在这个时候会幕就是神要住在人中间的地方
The Hebrew word is shekin
希伯来文这个会幕就叫 shekin
Which means that he will not have his permanent abode there.
就是他不是永远的居住在里面。
He fills heaven as well.
他也充满在天上。
But he will tent among his people.
但是他跟人暂住在一起。
As they are holy.
只要他们圣洁的话。
The New Testament word skenao.
在新约的里面讲另外一个字，居住。
Means the same thing, and Christ.Tented among mankind.
就意义是一样的，这主耶稣住在人类的当中。
帐篷在人
的当中。
So the tabernacle in Israel's thought and in the Old Testament represents the presence of God among His people.
所以在会幕在旧约的里面就表示神住在他自己的名的当中。
That was one of the reasons a prophet could make certain claims.
这就是为什么那些先知可以做很多的宣称。
Or the people of Israel made certain claims.
或是以色列民也有很多的宣称。
When Jeremiah said Israel was going to go into exile because of her sin,
耶利米说以色列人要被外放，因为他们犯了罪。
Some of the people ran around saying,The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord.
有很多人就说神的殿，神的殿，神的殿。
Because that meant that God was amongst them.
就那个意义就是说神在他们的中间。
And the Babylonians could never take them off the land.
那巴比伦的人是不可能把这个地方拿去的。
But they forgot a very important point.
但是他们忘记了一个很重要的重点。
They had to be faithful to the covenant.For God to remain in the tabernacle.
他们必须要忠心的守约，神才会继续的住在会幕里面。
So in the book of Ezekiel, we see God actually move away. We see God actually move out of the tabernacle, up above the north gate, and then move out of the city.
我们在以西结书看到神实际的就从他的殿离开到他北门，然后就离开了那个城。
God's presence leaves.Jerusalem.
神的同在就从耶路撒冷离去。
Of course, in the New Testament, God will dwell among us.
在新约里面，当然神跟我们一起居住。
In His Son, Jesus Christ.
在主耶稣的里面。
In the tabernacle, we should think especially of the Holy of Holies.
我们在会幕里面特别要提到至圣所。
The most holy place.
是最圣洁的地方。
And what did we find? What do we find in the Holy of Holies? Do we find an idol?
我们在至圣所里面看到什么呢？是不是有个偶像在那里呢？
If we go to Assyria, we will find an idol in their holy temple.
若是到亚述人的殿里面去，你一定在他们那里看到一个偶像。
If we go to Babylon, if we go to Egypt, if we go to the Hittites, if we go to the ancient, other ancient Near Eastern peoples, we find idols.
到巴比伦、到埃及、到何人、到一些外邦人那里，一定是看到偶像的。
When Pompey came into Jerusalem and conquered it, he wanted to see the Holy of Holies, and when he looked in, he thought he would see an idol.
在 Pompey 他到耶路撒冷征服的时候，到至圣所里面，他以为可以在那里看到一个像。
He saw no idol. He saw no idol.
没有看到偶像。
Israel had no idol.
因为以色列人没有偶像。
There were the cherubims, one here and one here.
只有两个基洛伯，一个在这边，一个在那边。
Looking at the top of the ark, the testimony.
就看到两个天使看到这个约柜，这是他们的见证。
And God dwelt invisibly between the cherubims above the mercy seat.
那神就居住在这基洛伯的下面，在他的圣座的上面。
But what else was deposited in the ark under the mercy seat?
在那个圣座的下面。是那个约柜。
A copy of the Ten Commandments.
就是里面有一个十诫的两个碑。
So the heart and soul of Israel's religion is clearly contained in the principles embedded in the Ten Commandments.
所以以色列人他们宗教的一个中心就建基于在他们的那个十诫律法上。
God wanted to hold those principles up before His people.
所以神要他的民一定要持守那些约。
So that they would be the unique moral religious people on earth.
所以在地上他们就能够成为独特属神的民。
Of course, those Ten Commandments now are embedded on our heart.
但是这十诫的这些律法是刻在我们的心板上。
By the Holy Spirit.
被圣灵所刻的。
But still note what the real heart of Israel's religion was. No idol, the invisible presence of God, but the Ten Commandments were there.
那我们要记得以色列人他们宗教的中心，他是没有偶像的，是看不见的神，但是是建基于在这个约。
And it is amazing to see how great the temple, the tabernacle and the temple was in Israel.
我们看到 很奇妙，看到那个会幕在以色列民中间的重要。
Maybe I should clear up one point here.
我想特别提出来一点。
When I use tabernacle, I'm talking about the tabernacle that is built in Exodus and that Israel used and was portable.
我讲的会幕是在出埃及记所提的这会幕，那个时候可以随时拿走的。
Technically, when I say temple, that was the temple that was built on the model of the tabernacle by Solomon.
我讲到殿的时候，就是所罗门按照会幕的形式，所造的一个殿。
Sometimes I forget and use the wrong term.
有的时候我忘记了，就把它混起来。
Okay. As great as the tabernacle was in the Old Testament, we can understand what Jesus says in the New.Because of that.
从会幕旧约里面的会幕里面，我们也能够明白，主耶稣在新约里面所讲的一些新的律法。
Can you see how significant it was when he said to some of the Jews, "You talk about the temple of the Lord, but I say to you, a greater than Solomon's temple is here."
你讲的，你们常常讲那个殿里面的。法，但是我现在要讲的一个人，他比所罗门还更大。现在在这里，
这里有一个人比所罗门所建大殿更大，是耶稣讲的。
So in Jesus, in His person, in His presence, the presence of God was greater than the Jews may have thought the presence of God was in the temple.
所以主耶稣的同在，他是神，他比以色列人所想的。神的同在只是在殿里面。
Okay, now we can think of the priesthood a little bit.
我们来思想一下祭司的事。
Of course, in the New Testament, Christ is said to supersede and replace the Levitical priesthood.
在新约的里面，主耶稣是他替代利未记里面所提的那些祭司的职分。
But remember that this was the priesthood that Israel had at this time in history.
但是这个时候所提的祭司是以色列民这个时候所遵行的。
And she showed her faith before God by acting faithfully with this priesthood.
他们因为信神的缘故，就在行为上表明他们用祭司的职分来对神表示忠心。
It seems that the priesthood of Melchizedek was even higher than the Levitical priesthood.
好像麦基洗德的那个祭司的职分比这里所描写的祭司还要高一点。
And Christ is said to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek.
但是主耶稣说他是按照麦基洗德的等次做祭司。
But again, I repeat, Israel is called upon to deal with this priesthood faithfully at this time in God's revelation.
但是这个时候神向以色列民表明他们要用这样的祭司的方式来敬拜他。
There are at least two main things the priesthood does.
这做祭司的要做两件主要的事。
Of course, we all recognize that the priesthood was there to represent the people before God.
当然我们已经明白了一个祭司来代表人站在神的面前。
They were the intermediate step between God and man.
他们是人和神中间的中保。
And without the priesthood, there could be no communication between God and man.
若是没有祭司的话，神和人就没有办法交通。
So the priesthood was God's gift to Israel.
所以祭司是神给以色列人的一个礼物。
And they offered sacrifices on behalf of the people.
他就代替以色列人向神献祭。
But they offered those sacrifices only as God gave instructions.
但是一定要按照神所指定的方式来献祭。
And there are many priesthoods in the ancient Near East.
在古的东方的一些祭司的事。
So it is not at all surprising to find Israel's priesthood well developed at this time.
我们看到以色列在这个时候祭司的职分已经很显明了。
God used structures that were present in the cultures at that time.
神用当时现有的文化里面所成的一些事物。
But he poured new meaning and content into them for Israel.
但是他对以色列民把这些现存的事物里面加进了一个新的意义。
Made possible.
祭司来做成这件事。
Made possible once again a relationship between the holy God who is the source of life and unholy man who was under the curse of death.
祭司能够连接圣洁的神他是有生命的跟这个不圣洁的人他的结局是死亡的能够发生关系。
For man once again to be in relationship with God and experience life,
若是人要再一次来与神发生关系经历生命的话
as he had in Genesis 1 and 2
是经历在创世纪一二章与神的那种关系的话
you see that the sacrifices and the priests the work of the priests was necessary
那祭司就必须要献祭
so that man could once again have relationship with God and therefore have life
那人就再一次能够与神发生关系，同时也得到生命。
Now that certainly involved the giving of offerings and sacrifices.
当然，里面有牵涉到给一些奉献。
That's kind of the negative aspect.
这是在消极的方面。
The negative side of the priesthood.
这是祭司所做的一些消极的工作。
On the other hand, the priesthood was there to inform Israel of the law of life.
在另外一方面，祭司也要教导以色列民那个律法的意义。
We talked about the giving of God's instructions last night.
昨天晚上我们讲到神对人以色列民的教导。
In order for Israel to then be the real people of God that God wanted them to be,
以色列民要活得像神要求他们的那样的民的样子。
They had to be taught those commandments.
他们必须要被神教导这些诫命。
They not only had to be taught the specific commandments,
不仅他们被教导一些特别的诫命,
but in the everyday affairs of life, whatever it might be,
在他们日常生活上的各样的事物,
they had to have someone help them interpret the principles.
也需要一个人来向他们解释原则上的问题,
and see how they might work out.In everyday life,
就可以使用在每天的生活上。
It's interesting that Jethro,
很有趣的一件事就是叶特罗。
Moses' father-in-law actually helped Moses set up an administrative program to administer God's judgments and words.
那摩西的岳父他特别教导他怎么样的管理以色列里面来处理一些事件。
In chapter 18 of Exodus.
是出埃及记十八章讲的。
So we see that the priesthood was necessary for this and to offer sacrifices, kind of the negative side.
所以讲到祭司在消极的方面，他为民献祭。
But it was absolutely necessary, so that the Torah of God could be disseminated amongst the people.
同时，神给他们的教导，他也要借着祭司教导所有的以色列民。
And when that was accomplished, then Israel could truly begin to be the holy nation and the priestly people that God wanted them to be.
只有借着这样的方法，以色列民可以变成祭司的国度和圣洁的国度。
Because they would know how to then disseminate the knowledge of God to whomever they met.
这样的话，他们就可以教导其他遇到的其他的民，可以教导他们怎么样变圣洁的民。
One of the strongest accusations that the prophets bring against Israel.
这些先知特别指责以色列民的事。
Is that the priests, her holy priests, have failed to give the word of the Torah to the people?
就是他们的祭司没有把神给他们的教导忠实的教导以色列人。
So the people in the nation are perishing because of ignorance.
因为因此以色列民毁灭，因为他们缺乏知识。
And another terrible thing that happened in Israel.
另外一件事情在以色列发生的。
Was that the priesthood became subservient to the political machinery.
那这些祭司就变成政治上的一些工具。
In other words, they just became pawns of the king.
他们就好像变相的成为一个王一样。王木偶傀儡。
Okay. And so they did not give out the true Torah of God.
他们并没有给以色列民真实的教导。
It's because of that that the book of Deuteronomy talks about the institution of prophecy.
就因为他们这方面失败的缘故，所以在生命记就讲到先知的事。
God realized that the king and the priesthood could easily become united, and the priesthood could become subservient to the political machinery.
因为神知道祭司常常跟宗教混合，祭司也常常站在一
跟政府
混合，所以就忽略了他自己的工作。
As a matter of fact, in nations round about, usually the priesthood was simply a part of the ruling dynasty.
特别在他们四周的列国，常常祭司就成为治国的一个君王。
And carried out its policies.
然后就行各样的政策。
So God raised up prophecy and prophets to guard against that.
所以神就兴起先知来禁止这件事。
The prophet was to be faithful to speak the Torah of God.
那先知是很忠实的把神的教导讲出来。
The word of God.
神的话语。
Even when the priest failed.
当祭司没有做到的时候，他也这样做。
So we see how important the institution of prophecy was in the Old Testament.
所以在旧约里面，那个先知的设立是很重要的。
The origin of the priesthood was from God.
祭司的来源是从神来的。
No man who was a priest merely stood up and said, "I want to be a priest."
没有一个祭司是自己站起来说我要做祭司的。
No man in Israel could take upon himself this calling unless he had the requirements that God laid down.
没有人可以自己说他是祭司，除非神按照他自己所要求的条件才能够做祭司。
The Levites, the sons of Aaron, of course, were Levites, were separated unto God.
利未族就是亚伦的子孙是特别分别出来做祭司的。
So the priesthood did not have its origin in man's will.
所以祭司的起源不是从人意来的。
It did not just present human doctrines.
也不是讲一些人的教义。
God called it into existence.
神把利司祭司设立。
And he created the instructions that it was to impart to the people.
他给他们教导来传给以色列人。
We can see the parallel. If we are going to do God's work, we must be called of God.
所以我们从这些相对来看，若是你要行神的旨意，你必须首先要被神呼召。
We don't have to be of a particular race or a particular tribe.
我们并不一定要是哪一族或者是哪一个支派的。
All people qualify as far as those regulations are concerned.
在这些条件来说，所有人都可以合格。
But to have a particular calling within the people of God, God must be the one who causes.
所以你若是要服侍神，必须要神给你有特别的呼召。
On the other hand, all of God's people in Israel had a priestly calling.
在另外一方面，所有的以色列民，他们都呼召他们要做祭司。
When the nations round about looked at Israel as a nation,
当四周的列国来看以色列这个国的时候，
as she served her God in the Torah,
他们也按照神的教导来服侍他们的神。
And according to the Torah, kept the festivals and the holy days.
按照神的教训，他们守圣日，守一些节日。
And celebrated their God's great salvation events.
也庆祝神给他们极大的拯救。
Then they were serving as priests before the other people in the world.
所以在列国世人的面前，他们就好像是祭司一样显明在他们面前。
So we may have special callings within the body of Christ.
所以在主耶稣的肢体里面，我们的确有特别的呼召。
But we're all the people of God.
但是所有属神的民。
And we are all part of the priesthood of God.
我们都是神的圣祭司的职分里面的一份。
And must serve in that capacity to the rest of the world.
我们对世人的服事也要在这一方面像一个祭司一样。
And always be ready to give the world the needed Torah of God that's summarized in Christ now.
我们要特别预备，常常向世人讲神的教导，以主耶稣基督为中心。
We're not only the priesthood of God.
我们不仅是神的祭司的国度。
As the Apostle Paul says, we are the temple of God.
保罗也说，我们是神的圣殿。
He no longer dwells in a stone building.
神现在不住在一个石头造的一个殿里面。
He literally dwells in houses of flesh.
他现在住在血肉的身体里面。
And all of us together are being built up into a real living temple.
我们所有的基督徒一同被建造成为灵宫。
Not one of stone and silver and bronze and gold.
并不是用那些金银或石头所造的
But one of flesh
是用肉体
In which we reflect the image of God
我们能够反照出神的形象来
To be his people
就成为他的名
谢谢你
完了
谢谢你他在讲
谢谢你